WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
How does it feel to be here?
Feels pretty nice. I'm excited.
You're excited? Oh, yep. I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited as well, Graham, to have you on. Sorry. We're missing Tanner. Tanner's out this week. He didn't call. He didn't show. I don't know what happened to him, but Graham's here to talk football with us. So let's just dive right into this. Elliot, guys, is having a breakdown. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Graham is just a paid actor. Graham is just a paid actor. We got him off the street. We asked him if he wanted to come on the show.
We literally found this guy right before the show started.
Yeah, I was just kind of cruising around the campus.
We actually don't know if this guy knows ball yet.
Dude, we really don't. He doesn't look like he knows ball. No, all right, well, first, I think the biggest game was the College Game Day game, Colorado versus Colorado State. What's y'all's thoughts on that game?
I would have laughed if you told me that was actually, like, College Game Day picked what probably was the game of the week.
That game was really good.
I didn't think this was going to be that good of a game.
Yep.
Very entertaining, you know, but I don't know. I know people are still gassing up Colorado. To me, Colorado State is not like some super like elite team, and you're giving up 35 points. You're in a dogfight with them, right? Granted, Travis Hunter was lost, okay, at some point, but I mean, when you look at their next week, and we'll get into this later, like when they're gonna play like a team like Oregon, I feel like if you're giving up this many points and having to struggle with Colorado State, you're about to get boat raced by the Ducks.
I agree to an extent. One thing I would, just playing kind of devil's advocate, it is a rivalry game. But still, Colorado State's, they're not that good of a football team. But it was a very entertaining game. Real quick, before we talk a little more about the game, I want to say whoever picked the start time for this game needs to be arrested.
Okay, that was ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going
to
be honest. Like, I watched Shedeur Sanders, you know, lead that 98-yard drive at the end of regulation. It was so late. I was so tired and exhausted.
It was so late.
I fell asleep, like, right as overtime was about to start. Yeah, it was late, man.
Yeah, that was late, but
that's what happens on those late night West Coast games. Mm-hmm. Like that always happens.
Right.
Yeah. Well, kind of diving into the stats from that game, like you said, Shedeur Sanders led the 98-yard touchdown drive and 2-point conversion.
Yep.
It was 28-20 with a minute and 50 left. Mm-hmm. They had that drive to tie the game, force overtime. Shedeur Sanders had another efficient day, 38-47. About 350 yards and 4 touchdowns, and that's what losing is, you know, his best guy and Travis Hunter, which
right.
I'm kind of going on the bridging on that. What did y'all think of Travis Hunter hit? Was it dirty to you? Travis Hunter touched on it on his live stream, saying he really didn't feel like it was that dirty of a play, but most people do.
Then this may be an unpopular opinion, probably because it is the unpopular opinion. I really think that people are blowing the hit out of proportion
because it's Hunter.
Because it's Travis Hunter. I promise you, if it is any other receiver, unless it's like Marvin Harrison Jr. or something like that, or like an Evan Stewart or a Xavier Worthy, like some top 10 talent, they're like, oh yeah, it's clean all day. But because it's like some top guy, they're gonna complain about it.
Well, another thing that's come out of this hit is all these people are now saying death threats to the guy who hit him.
He's got blitzed on Twitter and social media for sure.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. I mean, I thought it was a dirty hit. I don't necessarily thought it was. I mean, a dirty hit is a dirty hit. I don't necessarily think it was as dirty as the reaction received. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it was necessary, but I don't think that he went out there and, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick'd him. I don't think he really tried to.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. Okay. All right. Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
Nah, Minka didn't do that on purpose. But still, going back to the game, Colorado State, you know, put up a good fight on the road against, and albeit top 20 team against Colorado. Yeah. They are a top 20 team rankings-wise.
Could you argue that there may be a top 15 team?
Colorado?
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't, not after that performance. Because Colorado State's like very – like they don't have near the talent that Colorado –
No.
I mean, they're winless.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing to consider, and like I said, we'll get into this whenever we preview Colorado-Oregon, but like Colorado got outgained yardage-wise in this game.
Well, yeah. I mean, their quarterback Colorado State's quarterback was like dime piecing them. And then they had Torrey Horton – came in and threw a touchdown as well. They had, let me show you their three top receivers of the game. 133 receiving yards on 16 catches and a touchdown. Their second receiver, 10 catches, 131 yards and a touchdown. And their third receiver had 6 catches, 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, you're –
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the guy having 109 yards and 2 touchdowns, that was the third best day.
Yeah.
I mean, that says a lot. And I just think moving forward, you know, Colorado State, how does Braden Fowler – the quarterback compared to Bo Nix and to Caleb Williams and to Cam Risen. And I'm not sure if they play Washington, but Michael Penix Jr., if they play him. DJU, who's really improved this year.
Right.
So they just – I think we'll learn what we – we'll learn a lot about Colorado this weekend.
This upcoming weekend. Yeah. I mean, really, Colorado State, I think, loses this game in their penalty yardage. 17 penalties for 182 yards. I can't actually believe that is a
real stat.
A real statistic.
How many yards was it?
182. That is nearly two football fields worth.
That's crazy.
Wow. And they also had they had two more turnovers as well, and they only lost by 8 in overtime.
On the road.
So, like, I mean, realistically, Colorado State had a really good shot at winning this game.
They really did.
Yeah. One thing I will say about Colorado that I think is going to get – I think when they do lose, which potentially this upcoming weekend at Eugene, it's going to get overblown, and people are going to say they're trash. We knew they were trash. When – I mean, they were 1-11 last year. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think with what they've done winning and, you know, the primetime games, how much they get watched – It's the story's kind of gotten lost from what they was last year to lofty expectations this year, of which they're not, I don't think, going to be able to meet. Like, people are talking about them in the playoffs, and come on, guys.
Maybe if it was the 12 team, they could sneak in as, like, one of the last teams if they played well enough, but not in the four, man.
No way.
I do think – my last statement on this topic, I do think they win a big game, though. Between USC, Oregon, Utah – and they play Oregon State as well. They're at UCLA, who's also ranked. I think they win one of those games this season. Maybe two.
Yeah, I think they could, but I think at Oregon and USC's upcoming weeks without Travis Hunter, I don't think it would come down.
Tough time to lose him. Moving on from that game, a surprise in the Swamp, which realistically I guess we shouldn't take as a surprise, was 29-16 victory for Florida over the Vols. Stat that I didn't know that I thought was very interesting. Tennessee hasn't won in the Swamp since 2003.
Yep.
I mean, Elliot, what year were you born, buddy?
2003.
Yep. I mean, in your entire lifetime, they've never won there. And I thought that was insane, really. Especially, I mean, that's just crazy. But still, it was a 13-point win, but it was a pretty dominant win.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if you look at the stats – Florida, the time of possession, they had a little over 37 minutes of time of possession.
Wow.
Tennessee only had about 22.
Yeah.
So they completely dominated that side of the ball.
And, like, it's not like Graham Mertz, like, set the world on fire.
No, really.
He was 19-24, 166, and a touchdown. Trevor Etienne, though, that's your MVP, Florida, okay? Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's
Travis Etienne, bro.
Him, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Joe Milton looked – he was 20 of 34, which isn't too bad. He threw an interception. That offense.
That was an awful interception. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. This is not because we go to a rival school or anything.
Right.
There is no reason to throw up a little cupcake like that, okay? I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, just take the sack at that point. Like, just don't – there's no reason to throw that like that.
No, there really isn't.
I think they spreaded the ball out well. I mean, you know, it was pretty consistent. A lot of receivers had a good bit of yards, but I think from last year, Tennessee's obviously taken a step down from wideouts. From last year, you have Hyatt and you have Cedric Tillman, who are both NFL players.
And I think Hendon Hooker, to an extent, is maybe a more well-rounded quarterback than Milton. I think Milton's a more...
Oh, 100%.
Milton's just raw product than Hendon Hooker ever was.
Oh. Yeah. No, I mean, Milton is probably a better athlete, but just, like, on the field as far as, like, reading, like, I don't think he reads the defenses. He's not – Hendon Hooker in that offense was a lot more fluid. And this now potentially looking for Alabama makes the Alabama-Tennessee game look a lot better than it looked going into this weekend.
Oh,
but that's another topic, though.
Did it
– Not really, but I'm going to say
did,
it did.
Did it
You know what? Let's just jump into that now. Let's bridge there from Alabama to South Florida.
Okay.
Who wants to start?
Who wants to start? I really
hope
don't
to Holler Buckner doesn't start.
You can start.
Oh, I'm starting? Sure. It's my turn.
Yeah,
it is my turn.
You said it.
You said it was my turn. Yeah. I think the best way to classify this game, okay, is big yikes. I get it. It was like a monsoon out there or whatever. Like, was it like midway through the second quarter or something like that to take the rain delay or whatever. But my goodness, like the struggles, like, and it just seemed like it, there were struggles in the Texas game, which we noted last week.
Which that was fair.
But that was fair because Texas is, in my opinion, a top four team in the nation.
Agree. Yep.
This
South Florida is not a top four team to say the least.
South Florida had the 113th ranked defense.
Yeah,
coming in.
This was truly it was a sight to behold. Like, this could have been like the eighth wonder of the world or whatever. Like, I've never seen like an offense just have an inability to move the ball like that.
It was so bad.
There's just nothing to say. I mean, like, the compares, like, there's just the stat line. So what were they, like, a combined, at one point, Simpson and Buckner, because they were switching off, they switched them off or whatever, but they were a combined, like, 40% or something, maybe a tick over 100 yards or something like that.
Right.
A combined 10 for 23.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've just never...
What was that, 107 yards for the game?
Yeah.
And one of them's 45 yards to...
Yeah, one of them was to Dupree.
So that's, you know.
Top receiver, one reception, 45 yards, right?
You have 103 yards, and one play is 45 yards. So it's like, that's bad. That's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. And part of it, and I just, it makes me wonder. I know, so we're switching back to Milroe here for the Ole Miss game, right? Okay. Do I think that the offense will be markedly better? Sure, because I watched the offense actually move the ball against Texas, right? So I have faith that they will move it against Ole Miss. I'm a little concerned maybe with, like, the play-calling thing. I don't know about you guys. It felt like I saw more design runs for Tyler Buckner in
then
the one
Milroe.
And a half quarters that I saw of Tyler Buckner than of two whole games of Jalen Milroe. And Jalen Milroe is the athletic running quarterback.
Right.
Like, to
it
me,
makes no sense.
That blew my mind.
No, I completely agree. I think Milroe is a very good quarterback. I think he's a decent quarterback. I think he's an amazing athlete. And Tommy Rees is trying to make him be a pocket passer, read the field. He's trying to make him outsmart other teams when you need to let him out-athlete other teams. Because he's not going to outsmart other players that much, but he will definitely out-athlete some people. I mean, I think design QB runs, RPOs, give him quick passes like slants and, you know, running back screens. But – the play calling's got to be designed. If he's going to be the guy, which Saban has declared him the guy, it needs to be designed around his strengths, not his weaknesses.
Right. It really felt like Jalen Milroe, like the first couple games, was handed like the Bryce Young playbook or like the Notre Dame pocket passer playbook that like
the
Buckner had whenever he was the starter
exactly.
up there. And then the minute that they put Buckner and Simpson in, it's like, okay, here's the playbook I designed for Jalen Milroe. Now you guys run that one or something, right?
It's backwards.
It just didn't make a lot of sense, and it's really, this game should have been like 10-3, okay, because like the second touchdown was like literally at the end of the game, okay,
at the very last
in garbage time, okay, like this was a hard watch from start to finish.
I was stunned. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
How about you give some more thoughts, Graham? Okay,
well, I think another issue is the offensive line. I mean, it didn't, especially in the second half, I can't remember how many sacks, but it felt like...
Five
sacks.
All against Ty Simpson.
And it felt like, all in the second half, too. So it felt like no matter who was playing quarterback out there, I mean, it was going to be an issue. I mean, the offensive line they just did not look good.
That's probably being fairly nice.
I mean, is it an issue where maybe it's prioritizing size over maybe experience and like stuff like that? Because everyone's boasting like this is the largest line; it's larger than the smallest NFL line?
The average NFL.
That's right. Okay, yeah, I mean, so is that the issue? Because like, I don't know. I don't get it. It just seems
you think
like there's
that's
a
the
lot
issue,
of
Graham?
Pocket breakdowns.
You bring up the offensive line. What do you feel like their issue is?
Well, Well, I've also noticed a couple, and especially the first two games, like with the snaps, I've seen a lot of them just kind of rolling on the ground. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
No, I have.
Okay, yeah. Like, so we've got, like, snapping issues, and we've just got just blocking up front issues in general. Like,
no, I completely agree.
All these sacks, especially, and it's not like it was like a monsoon in the second half. I mean, it was sunny. The weather was perfectly fine. So, like, there's no excuse to blame it on the weather.
No, them coming out flat after the weather.
Yeah.
Was even crazier than the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I could even give Buckner a pass because he played a couple like series like in the pouring down rain, like you could see on screen. Right. Like, but still, I mean, I don't know, man. It was just one of those things. Like, what's the quote that Mike Tomlin says? Make routine plays routinely, and it just really feels like the last couple games, like they're not like, I guess, maybe focused, composed. Maybe
they don't look like a team.
Maybe losing to Texas was like a detriment, like mentally. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's just something there that like we're just not communicating right on certain things. Like even in the second half with Texas, right? Like the blown coverages and stuff like that, right? It's just not making routine plays, and it sounds like we're nitpicking because we're like expecting to have one of the greatest teams in the nation, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they don't look as well, like a well-oiled machine as they normally do.
Well, I mean, Bama's 13 off of their name. Alabama should not be like if you took every team and you took their names away, you took their jerseys away, you didn't know what school they were representing, Alabama would not be ranked 13th.
I actually wonder if they'd even be ranked.
Yeah, no, maybe 23rd. Like, what? But would they be ranked?
I think that's generous. I think maybe 25.
They wouldn't be ranked. They're ranked, though, in which they do have the most blue chippers. I've seen a stat today in the nation. 65 on the roster. Nobody else has 65. I think they have, like, six or seven more blue chip recruits than Georgia on the roster. Jeez. And they have, I think Bama has three times the amount as Ole Miss on the roster. So from a talent perspective, talent's not the problem with the team. Right. It's not the problem.
It's the execution that's the issue.
Yeah, and
I mean, Georgia struggled to execute early on with South Carolina, right?
Georgia's been bad they start slow.
They start slow, but you know what I'll give them, okay? Because they were down to South Carolina headed into halftime at home, right? They came out in the second half. They took care of business, right? They're like, okay, let's get it together. Let's get a move on, right?
Yeah, Kirby,
it seems like
Kirby
we come
something.
Out. Yeah, we come out slow, and then we come out even slower. Like after the break, to me, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, pivoting back to the Bama game, giving some of my last thoughts. I think that I hope it was just a bad game coming off a very physical game against Texas, because Texas also was tied with Wyoming 10-10 going to the fourth quarter.
They turned up the Jets, though, in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I did notice that.
They turned it on fast, and Alabama never did. So we'll see this week, the Ole Miss game, another game we're going to get into here in a second. Y'all have any quick thoughts right before we go to break on Alabama or any other games?
Well, I mean, I saw in an article this week, Tyler Booker had talked to the media. He was saying this week that they had a players-only meeting.
Right.
They didn't – he never said what exactly was discussed, but he was just saying, we're all on the same page now. So, I mean, I'm interested to see
– where that
– yeah, what – you know, if that transpires Saturday.
Well, we will see. We're going to preview some more games when we come back from break. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast back here to talk more college football. Here to preview a big week of college football. Guys, we're going to start this week talking about the Iowa-Penn State. So, real quick, let's get y'all's thoughts on that game.
I mean, it's a night game. It's a whiteout. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, I think Penn State's going to win this. I think they're going to win pretty handily. The only team that I can think of that wins in a night game whiteout is Ohio State, because they're the only team that's been able to prove it. Any other team that goes into Beaver Stadium at night, I don't see a chance for them to win. And Iowa, they're not a team that puts up a bunch of points. Even with McNamara, with the transfer quarterback change, I still don't see him keeping up with Penn State.
What do you think, Elliot?
It's a wideout game. It's a night game. But fate of the universe on the line. Martians have the death beam pointed at the Earth. You know who I think is going to go into Beaver Stadium and win?
Cade McNamara.
Not Cade McNamara. It's going to be Drew Allard, the Penn State quarterback, okay? Because quite frankly, he is looking the part. Like Penn State, I think they have a shot. Ohio State seems like they're a little bit discombobulated as of late.
Ohio State has not looked good against three very small opponents.
Yeah, and so the Big Ten might be for the taking. I don't know, okay?
I think they catch Michigan on the road, though. They either play Michigan or Ohio State at home, and I think they play Ohio State at home this year.
Yeah, and like, so, I mean – the Penn State quarterback, he's 67% right now, 737 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, okay? And then you want to compare that to McNamara, okay, the 4 TD, 3 interception ratio.
Yeah, he's 30.4 QBR.
Not good.
Is that a winning formula during a wideout game?
You know.
Defense wins games, though, right?
Defense travels. Well, you know they almost beat – they almost beat Iowa. Iowa almost beat Penn State in one of these games before. I can't remember the year. I want to say they had Saquon, and they threw a touchdown. Penn State threw a touchdown on the last play of the game to win. Do you remember that game?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that was at Iowa.
Was that at Iowa?
Yeah, it was Iowa.
I think it was at Iowa.
I thought it was at Penn State. And that was a big game, too. It was at Iowa. Okay, that makes sense.
I just don't see it happening. I think
Penn State's probably better at every asset of football than Iowa.
Yeah.
Maybe defense is a toss-up.
Could maybe be a toss-up, but Penn State's defense has been pretty legit so far.
And offense is not...
That's not even close.
It's not close.
It's not close.
So, real quick with picks, I think safe to say we're all going to roll with the Nittany Lions.
I'm pulling a white shirt on right now.
Okay.
Yeah, Penn State's winning.
All right. So, moving on, we're going to go to the Oregon State-Washington State game. Do y'all have any thoughts on that? We obviously know Oregon State has transferred DJ Uiagalelei coming out of Clemson, who's looked pretty good. I think he's proved a lot of people wrong about him as far as I think he's made, you know, obviously with Clemson losing to Duke, now it really looks like his situation was more on Clemson than it was on DJU. Who would have thought him going to Oregon State, you know, of all places? He's ranked higher than Clemson, and he seems like he's in a better fit and situation. So what do y'all think of that game, Elliot?
I think that we're looking at a preview of the Pac-2 championship. Okay? Namely because if there's only two teams in the division, then, well, you guys are both making the championship game, so good for you guys. DJ Uiagalelei, he's definitely looked better over at Oregon State compared to whatever's going on with Clemson right now. But – quite frankly, last week's performance leaves me kind of like, because that was against San Diego State.
Right.
14 of 30 threw two picks. That's just not going to fly against Washington State, quite literally. And so far, the Washington State quarterback
has been good.
He has not missed a beat. Okay?
No.
People are not talking about him at all.
Cameron Ward, that is. 986 passing yards and 9 TDs.
Yep. Number six passer in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. You said he's number what?
Number six.
Yeah. Who's over him? Gracious.
Shador. We got Penix, Sanders, Hawaii's quarterback, Braden Shager, the Vanderbilt quarterback, and then Sam Hartman, number 5.
Okay, Sam Hartman makes a lot of sense. And
yes, I did say the Vanderbilt quarterback, A.J. Swan.
Wow.
Vanderbilt. It's dark horse SEC like championship team.
Vandy?
Yeah.
I'd probably beat this Bama squad. Okay, let's get back serious. The game's at Washington State, so this is going to be a big game. Another ranked matchup. I really think it's a toss-up. I'm not sure who's going to win. It's obviously Pac-12 football. It's going to be a shootout. So I'm going to lean with the home team and Cameron Ward. He's looked really good. I think, you know, he hasn't really gotten talked about as much because they played some lesser opponents. They did beat Wisconsin, which was and Wisconsin was ranked at the time. So this will be their second ranked win, and he has no interceptions, almost 1,000 yards, almost 10 TDs. He puts up another big day. You got to start talking Heisman. Early September Heisman, Cameron Ward.
I think if he goes out there and he dominates,
he actually could put his name then, in there, which it don't matter right now.
Not ridiculous. Huh?
No, it's not ridiculous to say that.
Does Washington State have a Heisman winner? Would be a good trivia. Sure.
Aflac trivia question, everyone. Those of you listening right now.
Does anyone know? Do you know, Elliot?
No.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say they don't. Tell you what Washington State does have. They haven't missed college game day with a flag in years. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's been, I don't even know how many weeks.
It's been years.
Anyway, who's your pick, though?
Who's your pick?
I'm going to roll with Washington State. Because
you going to Washington State as well? Okay, well, you got to pick Oregon State then, Elliot.
No.
You going to Washington State, too?
I'm going Washington State. I'm going with the Cougars, okay?
Okay.
Let's go, team.
All right. That'll do. Well, moving on from that one, we're going to go to another ranked matchup. Six ranked matchups in this week, and Florida State, Clemson, another game we're going to preview, isn't even one of them, which we would have thought would have been a top 10 matchup. Mm-hmm. But before we preview that game, we're going to talk UCLA and Utah at Utah. It's another, like I said, another ranked matchup. Still, the word hasn't been put out if senior quarterback Cam Risen is going to be playing for the Utah Utes. He hasn't played in any of the three games this year, and they're still undefeated with their backup quarterbacks who've both seen some time. They've both been pretty decent. I personally think, even though Utah is really good at home, they won, I want to say, 26 of the last 27 at home.
Yeah, they've been really good. It's not easy to win there.
They don't really lose at home. Right. I think they're probably going to need Cam Risen to knock off this UCLA team.
Is your official pick Utah?
No, I wait. Let's wait till the end to get my pick. Who's your pick?
No, I thought we were waiting until the end to get the pick. Okay.
It wouldn't totally surprise me if Cam Rising plays this game because Coach Whittingham was saying like they don't know. I feel like deep down, like behind the scenes, I feel like he's got to know. We're 2 days out now.
Oh, I mean, they know.
It wouldn't surprise me. I feel like maybe they're trying to throw UCLA off a little bit, trying to get them to watch, maybe prepare for Nate Johnson more. Instead of Cam Rising.
Even if Cam Rising gets thrown in there, you have to imagine he hasn't played in a bit. Like, right, he's not going to come out, like, firing on every single cylinder.
No, yeah.
Right, and, I mean, obviously with this magnitude of a game, we'd be remiss to not talk about Dante Moore, who in ESPN 300 was the number two quarterback and the number two player overall, true freshman, that is. He was starting for the Bruins. He's looked the part of that ranking. He's 615 yards on the season, 7 TDs, and only 7 touchdowns and only 1 INT with an 86.2 QBR, which ranks 10th in the nation as a freshman.
Wow.
Heisman?
I mean, let's see how many Heismans we can give out.
I don't know.
We've already given the Heisman to Cameron Ward, so it can't be him.
next year, Mr. Moore. Next year. Okay.
I mean, dude, he has looked pretty good for a true freshman, though, fair. It would be very impressive if he walks into Utah and played well.
Yeah. I'll start the picks off. I think you guys have really said everything that needs to be said about this game. But for me, it's really hard to argue with a team that is putting up an average of like 527 yards a game.
Right.
On other teams. Okay. Yeah. That's going to be the UCLA Bruins. I know that that's an upset. I don't care who's in there at quarterback for Utah.
Oh, even if Risen's there?
Really?
No. Give me UCLA in this game. Wow. Upset.
Okay, then, Graham.
You know what? I'm going to go with Utah.
You going to go with Utah?
I will be going with Utah.
And Utah's favored by 4.5. Over under in this game, interestingly enough, is 51 points. That seems quite low. I'm going to say they go over that. I'm saying they go well over that. I'm going to roll with Utah, regardless of quarterback. Okay. We've seen their backup. Nate Johnson is a very serviceable quarterback. I want to pick the upset. Dante Moore is a really good quarterback. Obviously, they're a good, well-coached team with Chip Kelly. But their freshman quarterback is not going and winning at Utah.
You guys are sleeping on him. You're sleeping on him.
We'll see.
We'll be back here next week. Okay.
Freshman's not going to win at Utah. It's okay. Just not going to happen.
Okay, buddy. Okay. You know, you tell the freshman that is putting up 527 offensive yards a game, okay? Like with that squad, okay? You tell him that he's not going to go into Utah.
What Dante Moore?
That they've played.
So Dante Moore, if you're listening.
Utah, I mean, it's a totally different environment that they're going into now.
Exactly. And I just, if he's listening, hey, Dante Moore, you're not going to win at Utah. You're not going to do it. If you do, it'll be really impressive, but you're not. Gage into the next game. We're going to go to the Florida State-Clemson game. If you ranked what I'd say probably the biggest five games of the season, preseason, this is in those games.
Right.
Obviously, it's lost a lot of luster with Clemson losing by 3 touchdowns to the Duke Blue Devils. But it's still going to be an interesting game. A lot of talent out there for Clemson and a chance to, you know, prove their season isn't over. So, any thoughts on this game?
I'm still undecided.
You think it's going to be close? Do you think it's close?
I do think this game is close, and that's just simply because I watched the meltdown that Florida State had with Boston College last week.
Right. Okay? They did look bad.
And quite frankly, if a meltdown like that happens with Clemson, as bad as Clemson played against Duke, if Clemson is given that opportunity, they are not going to let that slip through their fingers.
Yep.
Well, okay. And remember, at the end of the Florida State game, Florida State had it, what, like 3rd and 6, and they were short of the sticks, but there was a personal foul penalty, so it gave Florida State an automatic first down end of the game. If that didn't happen, Boston College would have had the chance to go down the field at the last second and potentially win the game.
Historically, or, you know, here recently, Clemson has owned Florida State. They're riding into this game with a 7-game win streak against Florida State. So it's been a while. I mean, it's been a good while since Florida State was able to beat Clemson. I think that's going to change. From what I've seen of Clemson, I just think that Clemson is going to have a down year. I think they're going to lose this game in a few more, maybe 2 more games, 8-4 season. Cade Klubnik has not looked the 5-star that everybody thought he was. Jordan Travis, the 6th-year senior, has been good. He's been there forever, but still, I think Florida State's just overall better team, and I think it's their time. I mean, not one guy on that Florida State roster has beat this Clemson team. The game is at 11 a.m. It's 11 a.m. kickoff, which I think takes the crowd intensity down way more. I'm not sure TV deals. I'm not sure what it was, why 11 a.m. kickoff, but that doesn't bode well, I think, for Clemson.
Yeah. So, and Florida State, I mean, they got Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman. And they got two amazing receivers. Johnny Wilson, I mean, he's, what, 6'7", 6'8"?
Yeah, he's a dog.
He's a cheat code.
And their D-line is crazy. They're going to eat Clemson. They ate LSU. They're definitely going to eat Clemson.
Okay. I'm going to go with the dark horse here. I'm going to pick Clemson.
Really?
I think it's a home game. I think that they feel like they have something to prove after the debacle that was with Duke.
Okay.
And quite frankly, Florida State's defense is giving up nearly 400 yards a game. Okay.
Underrated stat.
All right. Yeah. So, it for me, it's hard. Like, yes, Klubnik hasn't looked the part so far, but there's no doubt he's very talented. Right?
Oh, yeah,
he wouldn't
for sure.
be starting if he wasn't. I still think that Will Shipley is a fantastic running back.
I agree.
Oh, he definitely is.
Okay? And so, in my opinion, I think if Clemson can keep it close, they're winning the game. If it's going to be a blowout, Florida State's winning that game. But I will pick Clemson because I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay. Can we get a score prediction on that one?
Oh, okay. Let's go with 34 to 31.
Okay. Game one in field goal, game one in stop.
Something like that. Okay. Maybe they're down like 28, I don't know, whatever. Maybe they're down like by 3 and then they go up 6 or something, then like miss an extra point or something. I don't know.
All right, well, Graham.
I'm going to take Florida State. I think they'll win somewhere around 35-24.
Okay. There. I'm going to roll Florida State as well. I'm going to say they win by 17 points, maybe 41-24 type of ball game. Clemson might not put up 24, but I still think no matter how it goes, I think Florida State's going to win the game. So with that being said, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to preview 3 more games, Ole Miss-Bama game, Colorado-Oregon game, and the Ohio State-Notre Dame game. We'll be right back on the Student Section Podcast.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast back for another segment. Last segment here to talk about this week's three biggest games. First, we're going to start with the Ole Miss-Alabama game, which is a really shaky game for Alabama and could be a big game for – it's a big game for both teams, but Ole Miss could really set themselves apart if they win this game in Tuscaloosa and Bryant-Denny. So what are y'all's thoughts on this game?
Well, this is a huge matchup for the SEC West Division with all the standings. It's a big one, and I'm a little worried. I'm going to be honest.
I think if Ole Miss wins this game – I think Ole Miss wins the SEC West.
I agree.
Because they draw – they get LSU next week at home.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which, that's a big saying, but I think Ole Miss is really good this year.
Oh, yeah. They're number four in scoring, averaging almost 53 a game.
Wow. Yeah. Which, their competition level has been, you know.
Well, they played Tulane, which
– who was out there starting
– Yeah.
I think if they're starting QB –
I think Tulane probably would have won if they had Pratt.
Yeah, because that game was very competitive. They made the score look worse than the game actually end up being. What do you think, Elliot?
I'm not just a little concerned. This is, in my opinion, for Alabama, this is a make-it-or-break-it game. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, that's not even my opinion. That's just a
fact.
That's just a fact. There is zero hope of any SEC championship or, like, playoff, New Year's Six, or any other. Zero chance if you lose this game.
Wow. Okay? Zero chance of New Year's Six?
Probably not. No. Because if they
–
You lose this game.
You probably lose two more. Maybe three.
Now, would you what would be your reaction if I told you – okay, and we know the talent that's in the running back room at Ole Miss. Okay?
Right.
What if I told you the season leader rusher is Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Well, to be fair, which I don't want to take that element away, he's crazy, Judkins has been banged up. Quinshon Judkins has been hurt. He's hurt coming into this game.
Yes.
But that's still scary.
Did you know that Jackson Dart has more rushing yards than Alabama's leading rusher, Roy Dell Williams? For the season.
That's bad.
Oh,
Jackson Dart has 32 carries for 213 yards and two touchdowns. Roy Dell Williams is 30 carries for 177 and one touchdown.
He had 130 of those yards the last game.
Yeah.
And the touchdown.
Let's also go to the receiving. Ole Miss's leading receiver, Watkins, 15 receptions, 290 and a touchdown. Our leading receiver, Mr. Bond himself.
Is it Bonds?
10 receptions, 152, and 1. And I haven't even compared – I understand that Milroe did not play the one game.
Right.
I'm not even going to compare Milroe and Dart's stats because, quite frankly, Jackson Dart's stats are, like, double of Milroe's. And that's just because Jackson Dart is a very good arm talent, and he is in a very good system that's working for him.
Oh,
and Ole Miss is running through their competition.
Yeah. Well, which quarterback has Kiffin had that – I mean, he made Corral look great.
Oh,
he's made Dart look great.
Lane Kiffin,
Kiffin
can coach.
I mean, he made Blake Sims. Blake Sims was a dog at Bama under Kiffin. Jake Coker, dog. Yeah, so any quarterback that Lane Kiffin has is going to look really good.
Yeah.
So, and it may sound like I'm going to pick Ole Miss to win this game based on how I'm talking, doesn't it?
I'm leaning Ole Miss.
I mean,
I'm leaning Ole Miss.
I am too.
I just think that I think Alabama's really reeling, and I think nationwide or like around the country that a lot of analysts believe, okay, it's Alabama, they're gonna get it together. It's Nick Saban. They do have more talent than everybody else. I just think the continuity of Alabama squad mixed with this is probably Nick Saban's worst coaching staff he's had since 07, which was his first year. That coaching staff might compete with this coaching staff on being better. This coaching staff's really just not that great, I don't think. I think Ole Miss comes into Tuscaloosa and wins. I think this is Lane Kiffin's time. I got a buddy that's an Ole Miss fan. He's talking about how next year Ole Miss is going to be even better than this year. And I really think
that – Is Dart still going to be there, you think?
He has a chance to be if he wants to, which I don't think –
Do you think he'd leave and go into the draft?
Not in this quarterback class.
Is he a third, fourth round
Maybe.
Pick?
I mean, this is the best quarterback class of probably my lifetime.
Yeah, it's
– Realistically. Shador, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, Drake May, to name a few. But
wow,
yeah, this quarterback class is crazy.
I thought Shador wasn't—he wasn't going
to. They did say Shador wasn't leaving, which is kind of wild, but still, kind of reeling back to this game. I'm going to give my prediction before we move on to the other games. I'm going to say Ole Miss wins. I think Ole Miss wins this game. I just don't think Bama's D-line. And I think our defense is going to look worse than they actually are because I don't think Milroe's going to be able to generate too much offense, at least not with the package that he's been given. If they change the game plan, they go to his strengths, I think Alabama can easily win this game. But I think it's a close game, and I think, you know, you compare Dart and Milroe in a must-pass situation, I don't think Milroe gives Alabama – that great of an opportunity to win in a must pass, in a, you know, where you have to pass situation. And he'll have to pass because it's going to be a close game, more than likely.
Yeah, Alabama has not given us reason to be encouraged.
No.
Ole Miss has
given us every reason.
Yeah, to be encouraged. So, therefore, I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
I will also be going Ole Miss. We'll be completing the sweep on that one.
Man.
And I'm just going to point to, like, the yardage statistics for a second here, mm-hmm. okay, in which Alabama's average offensive yards per game is 367, okay? That is barely above Ole Miss's what their defense allows per game. I just don't even think that they're even going to sniff 350. And then Ole Miss's offense puts up, like, 530 a game, 526.7.
They won't get 530.
No, but our defense gives up 310. And I think that it's much more likely that they get closer to 310 than we get to 350.
Completely agree. Yeah. I mean, best case, if Bama got to 350, 200 of that would have to be rushing. Don't you think? I mean, maybe Milroe gives you 100, 200 at most. I don't think Milroe's touching 200 passing yards, sadly. Unless he hits two deep balls.
Yeah, it would have to take a few deep shots to get up there.
Let's move on.
Let's move on from that game, going to Colorado, Oregon. Always hot topic, Colorado Buffs, led by Deion and Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, who sadly will not be able to play this weekend. What are y'all's thoughts on the Colorado, Oregon game up in Eugene? Top 20 matchup, Colorado versus Oregon.
Quack.
Quack? That's your thoughts.
That's all. That's it. That's it. That's
are you also quack? What do you have to say, Mr.?
It's quack. Like
yeah,
two quacks?
I think the Colorado hype train is going to run into a brick wall.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think it's not going to be a competitive game?
I don't. No, I think Oregon's going to run away in the third.
I mean,
quarter.
According to Caesar Sportsbook here, the line is Oregon minus 21. So. Yeah.
And people have been talking like, if
21
you remember,
is wild.
If you remember, TCU was like a 21 point favorite. But the thing about that is,
you're
that was
tuned
week
in
one.
To 90.7 WVUA FM.
We haven't really seen Deion Sanders' Colorado team, you know, on the field. Now we have for 3 weeks. So with this 21-point line, I think it's a lot more accurate than compared to when TC was favored by 21. I think Oregon's going to cover.
I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's. Can you imagine the drawback if Colorado goes into Oregon and wins this game? If they go into Oregon and win this game,
Colorado
jump
might
in
be a top 10 team.
Oh, yeah. Well, they should be. Why
especially
should they
Travis,
not be?
Without Travis Hunter?
Should they? If they beat Oregon at Oregon, they gotta
be. I think it's
be.
Debatable because it's a 19 versus a 10. So trying to say that they're top 10 would
put
be.
Put them at 10. If they beat 10,
that is a big leap.
That's a leap. That's a leap.
Probably
I mean,
12,
I can see them taking our number 13.
13. Yeah.
While we go back to, we can take their 19.
Yeah. That's a leap for sure. I think Oregon's going to win the game in a close game. But real quick, what I was going to say before I say that, if Colorado finds a way to win this game, looking ahead to next week when they play USC. That game is going to break records as far as, like,
viewership.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They've got three of the top five most viewed games this season. All three of their games are in the top five. So
the prime effect.
Yeah, the prime effect. Yeah. He coined that, actually. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
There's, like, four different things that he wanted to trademark.
Yeah. If they win this game next week, we'll be insane. But I will say I'm going to go Oregon in a very close game.
I don't think it's going to be 21 points. I do think that's a bit steep. Yeah. Although I do think the loss of Travis Hunter,
that's my opinion,
he's too much of an impact player, especially
that's fair.
Especially more on the defensive side of the ball compared to the offense.
Right, I agree.
He is an offensive threat. Don't get me wrong, but I think he offers so much more on the defensive side for that Colorado team in particular. I think that that is going to really open things up for Bo Nix. Okay. For Oregon, and so I think that Oregon probably wins solidly, maybe by like two touchdowns.
But I think if you're Oregon, the one thing that you don't want to do in this game is have Colorado hanging right with you at the end of the fourth quarter.
Sanders is so – I mean, you've seen against Colorado State. You put him on the two-yard line with a minute and 50 seconds. You don't want to give Shedeur Sanders a chance.
I mean, as Shedeur Sanders said himself, he goes Brady mode.
He goes Brady mode. That's his mentor.
Yep.
He shows him his watch and goes Brady mode.
Fate of the universe on the line.
Shedeur Sanders.
I got that last drive. I want Shedeur Sanders.
All right, well, real quick, before we wrap up the show, we're going to go on to the biggest game of the week. College Game Day site will be there in Indiana. It's the Ohio State-Notre Dame game. 3-0 Ohio State versus a 4-0 Notre Dame who played in week zero. Look at the two quarterbacks. Obviously, Sam Hartman transferring in from Wake Forest to start for Notre Dame. And then Kyle McCord, who – he's been pretty shaky, but his stats don't say because of some of the teams they played. He's 815 yards and 6 touchdowns. And it's at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame looks really good. What do y'all think?
I am a well-known, not a Sam Hartman believer.
Yeah, and it's been going on since last year.
And
I've been telling you since last year, Sam Hartman's that guy.
I have always come on with the belief that if he has turnovers in bunches, right, the wheels fall off the wagon.
That's every quarterback.
No, not every quarterback.
So if you have turnovers in bunches, it doesn't fall off.
No. What I'm saying is like he throws like one pick and that immediately turns into another pick
and then another pick.
Okay. Right.
Okay. I get you.
It compounds. Right.
I got you.
However. I'm going to say it. Go Irish, okay?
Oh, wow.
I have Notre Dame in this game because Sam Hartman, okay, in my opinion, at least this season, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's like just a different system that he's in over at Notre Dame. He doesn't look like the same guy anymore. Anytime that Notre Dame had made a mistake and it seemed like they got flustered, they managed to get it all composed. Okay, he's looked really good. He's thrown for 1,061 yards and 13 touchdowns. No interceptions, okay?
So
I got Notre Dame, quite frankly, they might win by a couple touchdowns.
Really?
You think that he looks way better than last year?
I think that Sam Hartman, over from what I've seen when his play in the ACC compared to now with Notre Dame, I think he's a completely different player. He's much better. I think he's much more composed. I think Notre Dame wins this game.
That's saying a lot because he's a second all-time leading passer in the ACC. So if he looks a lot better than that,
right?
I think Sam Hartman possibly could win the Heisman. I think this is a very big game for him winning the Heisman. Ohio State's looked bad. You know, last year, if you look back to last year's game, it was in the shoe at Ohio State, and Notre Dame was very, very competitive with Mr. Tyler Buchner, who has proven time and time again he's just not that good of a football player. You throw in Sam Hartman, you throw in the new coaching staff, take out Tommy Rees. Look, I'm telling you, I'm rolling Irish in this game, and I think that Notre Dame's going to bully Ohio State. I really do.
Okay, so like you agree, like
yeah, no, I think Notre Dame wins, and I think they're going to go out there and make a statement.
Go Irish,
go Irish, Graham.
I'm really on the fence about this game, but I'm leaning Irish.
Okay.
Fun fact, though, Notre Dame has not beaten Ohio State since 1936 in football. Now, granted, they've only played each other 7 times all time.
Still,
but
wow.
1936 was the last time Notre Dame beat Ohio State.
When were you born, Graham?
I was born in 2003.
Okay, so that's not in your lifetime?
That was quite some time.
That's going to change this Saturday. Well, that'll wrap it up.
You know what? Yeah, I think so.
I think so?
I'm going to go with the Irish.
All right. That'll wrap it up for us this week. We'll be back next week, talk some more college football, preview a big week next week. Yeah, have a good week.